Bonjour, bonjour, and welcome to another episode of Everyone Hates Marketer.com, the marketing podcast for marketers, founders, and tech people who are just sick of shady, aggressive marketing. I'm your host, Louis Grenier. Today is a rather special episode because I'm not interviewing someone, I'm answering your questions. Questions that you've submitted a few weeks ago when I asked you if you had any questions that I could answer, and also questions I received over the last few months via emails or LinkedIn, Twitter. So I tried to compile them a bit in two parts. So this episode is about questions you ask about Everyone Hates Marketers and myself. And the second episode, 1 week after this one, is going to be about marketing, questions you have around marketing. So let's get started straight away, shall we? So first question from Michael. And he asked, when I signed up to your newsletter, it was because you said you'd share what your numbers look like. Maybe it's me, but I have no idea what those numbers are on number of listeners, etc. So yeah, Michael, you're absolutely right. And I don't really do a good job at informing you about the numbers. I don't have a lot of time to send a lot of detailed email every week. So I usually resort to just sending information about the episodes. So let me give you an update on the stats and numbers. So I'm recording this episode on the 13th of July. So far since the beginning of the podcast, which started in April of last year, April 2017, I got 88,156 downloads. So that comes from iTunes, from the website, from any other podcast app. And in addition to that, 2,521 Spotify listens. So they are counted differently for some reason. So in total, that's 90,677 downloads. So yeah, nearly 100,000, which is fucking amazing. I never thought that this day would happen, but it is going to happen. So that's the first stat I can share. The second one are the top 10 countries. So I shared that a few months ago, but more than happy to reshare. I don't think that it has moved that much. So in terms of top 10 countries, the United States are number one by far, followed by the UK, followed by Australia, Canada, France, which is quite fun, Ireland, Germany, the Netherlands, New Zealand, and then Spain. So those are the top 10. In terms of the top 5 episodes, so the episodes that have been downloaded the most, the first one is Seth Godin. Second one is DHH from Basecamp. Third one is Mark Ritson, who talked about branding and marketing bullshit. So that's already the third most popular, and I suspect that it's going to rise to number 2 soon enough. Number 4 is Sean D'Souza with the Brain Audit. The title of the episode is How to Convince People to Buy Without Being Pushy. And finally, number 5 is the episode with Dave Baker on how to start a marketing agency. I would absolutely recommend you to listen to those 5 if you haven't already. Now, in terms of weekly downloads, weekly episodes, back in November of 2017, we had around 1,200 downloads a week in total, right? So all the episodes combined, 1,200 a week. And nowadays it's around 1,800. So yeah, plus 600 in a few months. So yeah, more than 50% increase. Which is quite nice. And then in terms of email subscribers, I had around 800 in November, and now it's 980, so nearly 1,000. But it's pretty clear that you might be surprised by those numbers. You might think that it's a lot. You might think that it's not that much, actually, because of all those experts that are on the show and all of that. But I think one thing to remember is that I don't do that full time whatsoever. I spent around an hour a week on the podcast. And the growth is coming from word of mouth. I don't do anything else but posting an episode every week. So it's still growing, which is amazing, but I'm really relying on my guests to spread the word. And I'm relying on you as well to spread the word. So that was the first question. A second question. I'm always happy to hear about your plans for the future and whether you have any big ideas. So that's from Emil. And the second one was very, very similar from Cassandra. Do you have plans to do anything more with Everyone Hates Marketers, like creating revenue, extending the brand, etc.? So I consider this project to be a marathon and not a sprint. This is the first side project I've been able to keep doing for more than a few weeks. And what I'm really focusing on right now is to be able to deliver one episode every week. As I mentioned, I do have a full-time job that takes a long time, that takes a lot of time. That is my number one focus. And therefore, I cannot spend time on anything else but that right now, or else I'm going to burn out. So the way I treat it is that it's kind of my personal MBA to learn as much as I can from marketing experts. So I would almost every week talk to someone I admire, and therefore I get a lot of insight from them, a lot of interesting learnings, and that contributes to my career as a marketer. It also helps me build a network. I've made many friends from this podcast, a lot of listeners, as well as people I've interviewed. And it's also helping me to build credibility, which is something I'm going to mention a bit in the next few questions. So yeah, overall, it's super helpful to, in my job and career already. And yes, I could spend time to get sponsors. I could spend time doing all of that. But at the minute, I rather focus on the process of delivering one episode every week, because I simply do not have time to do more than this. And what matters to me the most is to run this project for as long as possible without burning out, without feeling sick of it. And this is more valuable to me than trying to squeeze a quick buck. You might have noticed a light rebranding recently. So the first logo was designed by myself on Canva. But I've asked a friend of mine based in Venezuela to update the brand a bit. So the logo is different now. Same vibe, but much more professional. And there's maybe a few changes on the website going forward, but nothing crazy, nothing that will take me too long. So yeah, so far in short term, the next 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years, I don't think I will be doing more than the podcast. We never know, but for now, this is my number one focus, is my career and my job. That's a question from Annabelle. How do you organize your work and your daily schedule? So in my day-to-day work, we work in sprints, weekly sprints. So that means that we build our week based on the number of stuff we can accomplish during this week. And we split tasks in small chunks so we can achieve them and move fast. And we ask ourselves, what is the number one thing that needs to be done that matters? So that's really what I do. Every Friday, I would actually go through my task for the next week. And that has been super valuable to me. So instead of trying to figure out what I need to do today and going to work and wondering what I need to focus on, it's much easier to have a plan for the week that is already ready, especially on the Monday morning. So you can hit the ground running almost straight away. The other thing we have is a one-page V2 MOM, it's called. So it's an ugly acronym that stands for Vision, Values, Methods, Obstacles, and Measures. And this is just a way to have a one-pager to understand what are the key projects, the key things that we need to accomplish as a team. So we focus on that to understand what is the one thing that we need to do. We use Asana as a project management software, and the way I like to work is that in the mornings I set up my time to do some thinking, to do some proper work, while in afternoons I tend to have calls and like project updates and all that. So I do value my time in the morning. I like to wake up quite early, so I would wake up at 6:45 every day, and I would go to work around 8 a.m. So from usually 8 a.m. to around noon, I'm super productive. I feel I'm doing a lot. And then in the afternoons, I spend time doing some speaking with the team, updates, and all of that. Another question from Cassandra. What's something you wish you had known when you started this podcast? I think I wish I'd known that I was a good interviewer before I started this podcast, and I wish I had started this years ago. Because you can't really buy credibility, and you need to understand your strengths better. So I didn't know until I started that this is something that I was enjoying very much. And a few years ago, when I started my consulting business that failed because I burned out and I had no credibility, I think I should have started the other way around. I probably should have started with a sort of a podcast or YouTube channel interviewing people who are much, much smarter than me, instead of trying to get into consulting and trying to get clients to pay me, even if they didn't know me. So that's kind of the big thing. The big thing is that I wish I had known. That it's actually something I enjoy. It's actually something that I'm good at as well, and you seem to enjoy as well. So another question from Goche: what would you suggest to someone thinking about starting podcasting? What are the steps? What is the most important but overlooked? What are the lessons learned from you? So as I just said, I think if you have no network or credibility in the space and you want to start a podcast, whatever it is, I would say interview people or associate yourself with others. So it's incredibly difficult to start a podcast, let's say a podcast where you talk about your work and trying to teach people lessons about this is what I've learned, those are the key things I'm learning, et cetera, or trying to act as a thought leader. So it's incredibly difficult to have any traction when you do that, because you have no credibility originally. So, you know, and usually no network. And therefore what you tend to do is you would record a few episodes, you would publish them, and then you'll have no traction and then you stop. So I think that's probably the biggest thing. If you're looking to start a podcast, please, if you have no network or very little credibility, try to associate yourself with others. Don't do that on your own. Another thing I've learned is to stick to a schedule. So absolutely, from day number one, I decided that this podcast will be weekly and that there will be an episode every Tuesday. And this is important to build trust. This is important to build habits. A few people have mentioned that they are looking forward to a new episode every Tuesday at the same time. So you, to build habits, you need to stick to a schedule. I've seen a few podcasts around where podcasters would post an episode whenever they feel like it. And I really don't think that's the right approach. It definitely goes against the typical behavior from people. Another thing is to get a good microphone from day one. So I remember my first microphone was a Blue Yeti, which was good enough, to be honest. But now I have a better professional one. And that makes a difference. That definitely makes a difference in terms of the quality of audio. The other thing for the quality of audio is I would recommend to listen to record your episodes in a room that is properly isolated and insulated from noise. An easy way to do that is to put paintings on the walls, to add chairs, to add a lot of things so that the sound can stop and when it travels instead of bouncing back the walls. It also, that makes a big difference. Another thing is, I know you're probably listening to other podcasts that are super well produced. I don't know. I can't think of any right now on the top of my head, but I know that a lot of them are like super well produced, where they have good music, a narrator that would say, this is what we talk about. Things are cut very well. It fits into, like, let's say 30 minutes and all. I think if you start to do that from day one, if you have no expertise in audio editing, you're gonna burn out. You're not gonna be able to keep up your schedule, especially if you don't have money to spend in someone to do audio editing for you. So what I would recommend there is to not overproduce it and to be willing to have something that is not perfect, because people make mistakes when they speak. I do all the time. And yet I don't cut anything out of every episode. So it's a habit to take, and it's about shipping rather than making it perfect. And the last one that I would suggest if you're starting is to build a backlog. So instead of trying to, let's say you stick to once every week, if you don't have at least five or six episodes in the backlog that you can schedule in advance, then it's unlikely that you're going to be able to keep it up, because there will be time where you have no energy to record new episodes. There will be a time where you're on holidays for 2 or 3 weeks. There will be a time where, like, it's Christmas time, or it's another holiday, or something happened to you and you can't do it. So this is kind of the biggest, the thing I'm the proudest of, I would say, is that I always have a backlog of at least 10 episodes. And because I have a very demanding job, when I need to spend more time in the evenings to work on my job and all of that, I can, because I know I have a backlog. So that's kind of what I've learned. That's what I would suggest people if you're getting started in terms of podcasting. Another question from Christina. So Christina is a friend of mine. She listened to the podcast. She also invited me to hers. So Christina Ciparici and the CEO Library podcast. So her question is, how do you deal with digital information overload? That's an excellent question. So I'm very deliberate in the way I receive information. So I block my Facebook feed. I almost deleted my Facebook, but because I work in Ireland and my family is in France, I keep it to get in touch with them. I also have an extension on Google Chrome to block websites that I don't want to go to when I'm trying to focus. I think it's called Block Site. When I need to read about a topic or to learn about a topic, I tend to read books about it, to select selected books. But I also find myself to actually listen back or read the transcript of previous episodes, because I'm learning so much from listening that this is what I tend to focus on. So my knowledge in marketing nearly comes from conversations I have with guests and from doing stuff every day, like my personal project, which is a podcast, but also my day-to-day career. So I actually tend not to listen to other podcasts, especially marketing. And I also don't really read a lot of other blogs, which might sound surprising, but I think it's to keep your sanity. It's important to really select the amount of information you receive, or else you're going to burn out. You're going to constantly feel like people are ahead of you, constantly think that you're missing out on something else. So if you focus on marketing foundations, which is something I'll talk about in the next Q&A session about marketing, I don't think you need to be exposed to that much information every day. Andrew, who's one of my colleagues, actually, what has been your biggest aha moment when interviewing all your guests that really got you thinking about your approach to marketing? I think the number one thing is that they all talk about the same thing to start with. Like, it's funny because every single time we go through these step-by-step methods where I ask them, you know, how do you do that step-by-step, whatever it is, 90% of the time, they all talk about understanding people. What matters the most is that you understand people. You understand what they like, what they want, why they want it, who they are. And that's the basis of marketing. So it's funny that every single one of them almost are mentioning this as their first step. That's what I've learned. And therefore, my approach to marketing has really changed based on that, because this is kind of marketing 101. If you're not able to understand people correctly, then it's not going to be good. Andra, one of my friends as well, that I made on the podcast, and she has a podcast as well, which is called How Do You Know? So Andra Zaharia, you should check it out, about decision making. So she's asking, what is one question you wish people asked you more often? I think the question should be, I wish people were asking me more, can you help me? And the reason why I say that is not because I'm trying to sell anything, but because I think being open and vulnerable to others is the only way you can really succeed. If you're trying to act as someone who's tough and who knows everything, then it's unlikely that you'll make strong connection with others. So I think asking the question, can you help me? I'm struggling with this is probably the question that I wish more people were asking, not necessarily to me, but to their colleagues and to their friends in general. Prashant, a question from Prashant, who's a listener to the podcast as well. So what inspired you to start this podcast? I've answered this question a few times, but I think it's worth repeating because a few of you are probably new to the podcast as well. So I'm a contrarian by nature. I kind of have this way of thinking that if everyone thinks a certain way, I tend to think the other way, or I'm trying to at least question this way of thinking. So I always kind of loved the psychology of understanding people. I've always found it super interesting. And I really can't deal with dishonesty. That's also a part of my personality. I just like to be super honest and blunt and transparent. And I really don't like people who are trying to be sleazy and trying to sneak in. Like, just, I just don't like that at all. It never was me. And all my friends and my family, we are the same. So it took me years to refine this idea of everyone hates marketers. As I said, after a job in marketing, I started my consulting business. And at the time, after a few months, I organized two events for bootstrappers, so for entrepreneurs who are not using outside money to build their business. And I had invited one guest at a time. So it was in the Chamber of Commerce in Dublin, and I was interviewing them for like around an hour. We were recording the video, and there were around maybe 50 people at each event. And what was interesting is that a lot of people told me that they enjoyed my style of interviewing, that they really enjoyed the question I was asking, and I discovered at this time that basically I was a good interviewer, that people enjoyed it. So that's when I started to interview marketers after that over Skype, just to see what I could do. And this is how the podcast was born. But the idea behind it, the idea of everyone hates marketers, took me years. I always was kind of pissed off by the mentality of marketers trying to sell bad products and trying to lie to you just for the sake of making more money. And because of my contrarian nature and also the dishonesty that I really hated, it just got refined and refined. And I realized that a lot of people felt the same way. And after a while, it just everything connected together. But it took me maybe 8 years to go to this point. Another question, I don't have the name though. How did I manage to get such high profiles people on my podcast? So the short answer is that I've just asked them. That's really the truth. It's really about polite persistence. So I really don't get disheartened if I send an email to someone who's not replying. I would send this person a reminder 2 weeks after. I would tweet at them. I would send a connection request on LinkedIn. I would also keep the email super short. So I like to keep them under one sentence. So one or two sentences. But I think the key of the reason why I was able to get high profile people is purely because of the angle of the podcast. I don't think I would have been able to get Seth Godin on the show if my podcast was just about marketing, like any other digital marketing podcast out there. I think you attract the people who are in alignment with your values and your vision. And the stronger your vision is, the stronger your principles are, I think the easier it is to get people who believe in the same thing. So that's probably one of my advice as well, is pick a battle. Pick an enemy and go for it, because you can't please everyone, far from it. It's much easier to please a small portion of people rather than trying to please everyone. You cannot please everyone. So that's how I did it. And finally, last question for today. How did you get credibility as a French person working internationally as a marketer? So I've been living in Ireland for the last 8 or 9 years at this stage, right? And I'm French, as you know, originally. And when I came into Ireland, it wasn't, I wasn't working as a marketer. I was just working in business. I was doing some like admin work mostly. And I managed to get into marketing a few years after. I had a full-time job in a mobile marketing startup. And then I created my consulting business. Then I burnt out. And then I started with Hotjar. And I'm still employed there. So I think the key here is that I never really, I kind of forgot I was French after a while. So that sounds weird, but I think I made peace with the fact that I was working in Ireland, that I was working in an English environment, and that this is probably, I would probably live there for the rest of my life, or at least in an English speaking country. And even though I'm very proud to be French, I think it's important to to connect with people where you live and not try to overly advertise the fact that you're like from France or wherever. So I quickly realized I had to get much better at English. I quickly realized I had to just do a good job and focus on that. So I forgot after a while that I was French, and I think this is what I'm doing with the podcast. If I had that in my head, oh, you're French, you have a French accent and all of the jazz, I would have never started. So I don't think being French or being Spanish or being whatever, it matters to get credibility internationally. I think it's what matters is just to connect with people, to be genuinely nice and honest, and to adapt to where you are. So those are the questions I chose for you for today. I hope you get some information that you wanted to know about me and the podcast. Feel free to keep sending those via email. You can sign up to the newsletter on everyonehatesmarketers.com. If you send me an email, I will reply. I can guarantee that. So don't be afraid to ask me more questions. And next week, I will answer questions that are marketing related this time. There are a few interesting ones. So I'll see you next week, and thanks for listening. That's it for another episode of EveryoneHatesMarketers.com, and this is the moment where I tell you to subscribe to our email list. So before you leave and go to another podcast or listen to another episode, I don't treat email lists the way people usually treat their email list. I really treat that as a one-to-one conversation. So I'm going to send you very short and personal emails every 2 weeks, I would say. I'll inform you of guests in advance. I'll share with you my numbers and how many listens we get. And I'll also ask you for your feedback in terms of the questions we can ask future guests. And perhaps I can also have you on the show someday. So don't be afraid to subscribe. I'm not going to spam you. And you can always unsubscribe for sure if you wish. The second thing we need from you is your harsh and honest feedback. We know that this show is not perfect yet, and we always can improve. So you can send us your email at feedback@everyonehatesmarketers.com. Good or bad, please feel free to send me an email. And the last thing I'd like from you is that if you did like the episode, please share it to your friends, your colleagues, or whoever might like it. And also please review it on iTunes or another service that you might use to listen to your podcast. Because if you leave us a 5-star review, it means that more people will be likely to listen and we can spread the word quicker. So thank you so much once again, and au revoir.